Welcome back to episode two of the Norton Norris podcast. Obviously, episode one, we had the little N. Today, we're super excited to bring in the big N, the boss lady, Dr. Jean Norris. Welcome, Dr. Jean, to today's episode.
Thanks, Trent. Happy to be here.
Excellent, excellent. So Vince and I talked a lot about traditional marketing. And when we talk about marketing, obviously we're creating prospects and funnels that are leading into the admissions process, right? Yeah. And you've dedicated your entire life to admissions. So when we start here, can you tell us a little bit about your background in admissions and some of the things that you've done? Because it is quite an impressive list, and I want to make sure our listeners are aware.
That's one way to say that it's been a long time, right? I think this is my 32nd year working in higher ed, period. And admissions came to me sort of by mistake. I actually am a grad of a career college and got a phone call to actually join a college here in the Chicagoland area. And they said, you know, how would you like to help students in a different way? Because I was a medical assistant. And I said, sure, I'll check it out. And I became a high school rep. And I always tell the story of my very first presentation was awful. Everybody ignored me even before cell phones existed. And with that experience, one girl came up to me at the end and she said, hey, I want to shake your hand. And I was like, why? Who would want to shake my hand? And she said, because I never thought about going to college till I just heard you speak.
Wow.
And that just hooked me. And I thought, wow, I can actually have an impact on people. So with that, I've just been blessed and lucky enough to hold several positions, primarily in the world of admissions. You know, from a director of admissions to a dean of admissions. Also worked on the faculty side, on academics. Was a dean for a while. But my heart was always back in admissions. So became a VP of enrollment, and just VP of org development. So really just exploring always in that admissions side. And it's my passion. I love what people in admissions do. And throughout the years, I've noticed that it's had decreasing returns. And I felt bad for people that were working with, people that were training, presenting to, saying, gosh, I used to be the top of my game and now I'm not anymore. Like, what am I doing wrong? And that's when we researched and we're like, what are they doing in other industries? What's happening out there that we can learn from? And we found some great friends in Australia that actually been doing very ethical sales training. And we created things together that they still teach. And we grew it and applied it specifically to higher ed. And here we are all those years later, continuing to learn and watch what's happening with the consumer and how we can fill a niche or a need that nobody else is doing right now.
Awesome. Well, that's quite the background. So obviously your passion lies in admissions, and that's where I want to take today's episode. Admissions, I think, had become somewhat of a dirty word, kind of like sales had become a dirty word in a lot of cases. People didn't necessarily feel good about going into the profession. There was a lot of turnover. There was a lot of, let's just say, not necessarily clean, ethics and practices that were put into place. So when we talk about admissions today and looking at it through the kind of the Norton Norris lens, right, everything we're doing is based on ethics. Is that a good way to start the conversation?
If it's not, it should be, yes.
Yeah, perfect, perfect. So there are two key points that I think having gone through the EnrollMatch program a couple of times now that I think really stand out. And they're relevant not just for higher ed, but for really any business that has an inside type sales professional, as well as an end consumer on the other end. And when we talk about end consumer in the higher ed sphere, obviously we're talking about our students, our prospective students, right? So let's start there. The student empowerment approach. Mm-hmm. How did you think of that? What is it? And how can we leverage some of these ideas behind the SEA?
Yeah, that's a great question. So again, doing our research, what we found is that a lot of the approaches that were being used really pushed ideas at people versus empowering them to make their own best decisions. So we very much worked to create a process that was proven and compliant. So we studied, what do actual counselors do? counselors, like if you've ever gone to a counseling session or, in the high schools or anyone who works in coaching. And we're like, what are some of the commonalities of things that they do? And it followed a four-stage process. So we knew that it was effective. We knew it was proven. We knew it worked, but we wanted to apply it to the world of higher ed. And that's where it got a little tricky because we were trying to do it in a way that wasn't dramatically different from what people had known for decades. Because change is a little hard for some people.
Oh, yeah.
So the whole premise was, what can we do to take the best of what we're already doing and add in some new things to help the students discover things about themselves that maybe they didn't know? So that creates a much deeper level of listening than anybody's ever used before. We talk about the idea of listening at the highest levels, meaning listening with your eyes, your ears, and your heart. The other part of that is questioning, and it's strategic questioning. And again, the profession of admissions had gone down this path of pages and pages of questions and questions. So we really did a lot of exploring around what makes a strategic question, what's the purpose of it, what are we trying to find out? And then we've created some new questions that we somewhat prescribe for people to use, and they're amazed when they use these questions, what they find out, and how it controls. There's a framework, but yet it allows for flexibility within that.
Excellent, excellent. So that brings up a couple key points I want to touch on too. So before, most of the admissions process was centered around the admissions person or the school getting as much information out of the student as possible, as opposed to walking the student through some of the deeper level or kind of root causes of why they're there, what they're trying to accomplish, and that sort of thing. Is that a correct statement to make?
Yes, that's very true.
Okay. Perfect. So the student empowerment approach, right? We know that the consumer is in complete control of most buying processes now from the Amazon experience. No longer do they have to get in their car and drive across town to pick something up at Walmart. They can sit in their pajamas or sweatpants and hit order now. So is now the right time for student empowerment because of the changing dynamic of the consumer as a whole? Or walk me through kind of why now is the right time?
I think now definitely is the right time, and primarily it's the right time because students need it. And when we talk about empowerment, the way I view the word empowerment is making the students stronger, making them more resilient, more confident in the face of obstacles. Because we know that going to college is a big change. It's whether you're fresh out of high school or an adult going back, it's a huge change. So they need to learn how to manage the change that's going to be created. And when you think about, the high school student coming into college, the biggest obstacle I think that they have is the counselor shortage.
Sure.
So when you think about, in the house, currently 482 students to one counselor. Now, think about that for a second, right? We are lucky enough to have, licensed school counselors, on our team that actually spend a lot of their time working in the high school. So they know what's going on, and we get that information, and we are very lucky to be able to do things with that information and those relationships. But when you ask them, what do you spend your days on? It's not advising about your future career. It's more about surviving high school. It's more about, preparing for the test. If they can get them to, complete their financial aid forms, if they can get them to do the online application, those are great. But between the meetings and a lot of the psychosocial aspects of what they have to deal with, that's really, sort of has taken a back seat. The other thing is when you think about adults who now decide it's time to go to college, maybe they failed in the past, or maybe this is their first time doing it, and maybe they're the first generation who's ever done it, whatever it might be. But for those people, because they didn't do it the traditional way, they may be coming with additional baggage or beliefs of, will I fit in? And how am I going to balance this with life? I've got kids, I've got a job. How am I going to make that happen? So throwing school on top of that can be really overwhelming. So again, I think for now, when we talk about empowerment, it's something that these people need. They need to become tougher, more resilient, and have the ability to overcome obstacles that are surely to come their way as they're going to college.
Awesome. I love that. So let's take it from like the theoretical up here down to the tactical and practical, right? What would be like a couple questions that someone would ask in the traditional admissions line of questioning versus a couple questions that they might ask in a more student empowerment focused lens? Can you share two sets there so we could see the difference?
Sure. Yeah, it's interesting because what's been happening in the world of admissions for the longest time is there's no shortage of questions.
Right.
A lot of them are asked with the idea of I already know what their answer is going to be. And so that's problematic right there. They're also designed, or the way that they ask their questions are really centered around the typical obstacles to enrollment. So a typical obstacle would be childcare. So tell me about your kids. And the reason we ask that question is to find out how old they are. And the reason we want to know how old they are is because we want to see if there's going to be childcare issues. So then the next question is going to be about, well, who's going to take care of your kids? So it's very much centered on, I know what the seven or eight top obstacles are, so I'm going to ask questions about all that stuff, and then ask you, what's your plan? What's your plan? What's your plan? What's your plan? So that would be an example of how questions are asked. Sometimes the questions that are asked have good intention, but they don't really get to the root of what we want to know. For example, they'll ask him, so what motivates you? Or who knows you're here? And they're like, I don't know. I'm not really sure. But again, the intention there is to find out, who's your buying committee? Like, who's going to be in this decision with you? When you ask somebody what motivates you, there's no context with that. It's like, making money. I don't, what is that? So in the enroll match program and in the student empowerment approach, we're not saying throw away all those questions. We're saying that they have a place only in relation to branching off of other topics. And so an example of what we use, we've designed questions specifically to actually hit a different part of the brain. And it's a part of the brain where decisions get made. So most questions, if I were to ask you, Trent, just a basic question of, why do you want to go to school now? You might answer, just started thinking about it. It seems like it might be, or whatever. Those are more socially acceptable kinds of responses, or what we call frontal lobe kinds of responses. So people just come out the gate with what they think they're supposed to say or the top thing on their mind. What we do is we create those deeper thinking kinds of questions where they actually have to process. And I think that makes some admissions people uncomfortable because they have to stop and listen. So these questions are designed to hit the part of the brain, as I mentioned, where decisions get made, called the hunch. And ask the question. I always encourage people to think about it as a key that you're throwing out there, and it's circling the brain till it can find that door, right? A typical question that we might add there would be, how will you know when you found the right college for you? So does that
Great.
feel different?
Yeah, that's a huge difference.
It's a difference. And the difference more so is they're going to sit there for a second and go, how will I know that when I found the right college for me? Well, first of all, they have to define right, right? They have to, what is their definition of right? What is that? And then they have to look for the door. So it takes a few moments for them to process it and think about it. But what we're asking is, what's their buying criteria? That's really what we're asking. Now, some people in the old methods would just ask that.
Yeah.
what would you need to see in order to buy this today? No, we're asking it in a more thoughtful way to get them to ponder, to process, to think deeply. What does right mean to you? And how will you know when you found it?
Excellent. Excellent. And there's a little nuance in there too that I think I would like to point out to our listeners and to our viewers. Notice when Jean asked the question, it was a pause. Right. And I think that's one thing that I've learned going through the program, is I always want to fill in the blank. I want to get to the next part of the question. I want to help them find the answer, because I have an agenda to keep, right? But notice how Jean stopped, she paused, and she waited for my response. And I think there's a huge value in doing that as well, in addition to just the better line of questioning. So again, pause, right? Think before you do.
Thank you for, and again, that goes back to the listening piece that I was talking about.
Yeah.
If someone can't answer a question, if we're truly listening, what are they telling you? Well, they're saying, I haven't found it yet. I haven't found that door yet. That's what they're telling you. And that's okay. But you're right. We need to, and there is a formula that we teach for how to deal with that. But it's definitely allowing that space initially.
Awesome. So this is great. Is there any downside to student empowerment?
That's a great question. I can't imagine there's a downside to helping someone be resilient to figure things out. My only thought really would be something along the lines of if we start down that path to try and help them become all they can be, and we're not trained to do that well, we're going to shortchange our students. We're going to shortchange people. So I don't think there's a downside in trying to help somebody get to that place. I think if we're not qualified in terms of doing it, that's where it can become dangerous.
Sure. Yeah, the way I approached that question, I was thinking more so along the lines of a DOA or a VP of admissions, and thinking about, well, gosh, now my admissions counselors are going to have to take more time to ask these questions. They're going to delve deeper into that prospect psyche. They're going to have to listen and pay attention more so to what the people are, to what the prospects are saying. And that throws off the entire system. It throws off the equilibrium for how long students should be in an interview meeting, how long they should be progressing through the process, and how long it's going to take them to enroll. But this is where I want to make that transition, right? So it's not about the length. It's not about us as admissions folks. It's not about us and trying to get more through the door. It's about the student, and it's making sure that the student is a fit for the program of interest, for the school, whatever that might be. So here's where we're going to switch gears, right? What is fit, and how has that been part of this whole EnrollMatch, MGC, this whole ecosystem that you've created for the admissions profession?
Again, my training really is in org development. So when I think about fit, I think about alignment and synergy, right? So we're specific to specifically trying to help students figure out, is this the right school or college for me? And is this the right major and or career field for me? That's what we mean by fit. And it's not dissimilar to organizational fit. Like, is this the right company that I want to work hard for and that I'm going to stay with for a long time? And then as you also think about personal fit, personal fit is it's how well your things that you are interested in or your abilities, how did they line up with the responsibilities and activities of a job that you might have later on or a career field? So it's very much in line with choosing a major at the same time. So that's sort of where fit came from, was my org development background.
Awesome. So when we apply that to admissions, tell me a little bit how that looks, how we can apply the five factors, what those five factors are, and then how that leads to better student outcomes.
In the higher ed admission space, the one thing that I'll say is that there's been a major focus through time on some of those five factors. One being what we call our My Life section. So initially it was designed to help students figure out those obstacles that I mentioned before. So we don't have to throw all of that away. We've got some of those things. And the career college space is good at doing that. In other higher ed institutions, they use different things to try and help students figure out those types of things. But so I'd say My Life was one of the focus areas in the past. And maybe a second one would be goals, but at a very light level, not really going deeply into that. So, but the other things that need to be studied are really things that help them, such as their interests, right? And you think, oh, that's common. People come in and go, yeah, I want to be a business major. I want to be a nurse. I know what it is. But with those other factors of fit, what we're trying to do is help them understand truly the alignment of those interests with that particular job or career that they might be going into. Do they line up what you'd like to do? So think about it this way. And we've got interests and skills are sort of tied together. But imagine that somebody is like really good at negotiating. They're great at that. They love working with people. It's awesome. They become energized by working on teams, all that stuff. Well, what do you think is going to happen if they end up taking a job working on computers, by themselves in a back room? So when you think about that, first of all, it's not their passion. They're going to become disgruntled. They're going to end up dropping out, or quitting the job, whatever it may be. So, in the works of, and I've studied a lot in terms of researchers, right? I want to make sure that what we're doing is grounded in research. And, Tinto is one of the renowned student persistent researchers out there, along with Holland, very typical, but they actually take student fit to that next level of talking about persistence, of talking about those things like building self-efficacy. And in the My Life section of what we've built, we actually explore much deeper in that area. So not only is it deep sections of the goal setting activities, the interests, the skills, their life. But we also added in values, and that part I think is really interesting because we weren't going to do that at first. We weren't going to add that. But as we did, as we again, I told you we worked with coaches and people who work with students day in and day out in terms of career advising. They brought this up as if we only had time, we would also talk about someone's values. I go, well, what do you mean? They're like, well, think about it. What somebody values, they will fight for, right? It's their belief. It's very strong in terms of this is what is important to me. And however, a prioritized sense is sometimes difficult to come down to, and lining that up with that job or career or that school. So, for instance, I wouldn't take a job with a major company that required me to travel all the time because, I've got a family, I've got friends, I've got dogs, I value those things. So it's not going to be a good fit. So we can help students understand their values and prioritize them and just see how they line up with their school as well as the program and ultimate career.
That's great. So you say we can help, and I know what the answer is going to be, but what are the two things that we do to help? I'll throw you the first one is a softball, right? Enroll Match, one of our programs, right? That's one of the tools. And the second one would be my guidance coach. Right? So do you want to take a couple minutes to explain the whole Enroll Match program, as well as, once we're done with that, we'll move to MGC?
Sure. So a couple things are happening in Enroll Match. Well, first of all, the name, says it all, right? So we're training people not to be master's degree professionals. I want to put that out there. This is someone who has, a counselor actually has initials behind their name. They've blood, sweat, and tears. They've done the work. What we attempt to do in Enroll Match, first and foremost, is self-discovery. Because many things that we've learned from participants is they've been doing some things, but they've been trained out of them. So they're very empowered themselves when they go through the program to go, I knew I was right. Like I oh gosh, I've always done that. I just never understood the psychology behind it. I never understood why it worked that way. But now I have more grounding. Now I understand that I'm actually doing these things that are being done by others. But it just came natural to me. So that's one of the things in Enroll Match is there's lots of assessments. lots of exploration, lots of deep thinking about what are you currently doing. And when people discover, which happens many times, that things that they're doing are not having the results that they thought they were, and or they may be doing more harm, they become very concerned with how do I fix this? So make no mistake, in the workshop, we come right back in with here are some additional tools for you to use. So I'd say awareness is a big part of the program, and that self-discovery. And then we spend a lot of time on tools, tools for relationship building, tools for connection, tools to listen at higher levels, tools to understand your communication styles, your profiles, whether it's email, chat, phone, online, face to face, whatever you're doing. So we give them a bunch of these tools that they can use anywhere. The other thing is we do go into that student empowerment approach in great detail. Again, a four-step process, not dramatically different from a framework that they may be familiar with, but you'd be surprised the number of attendees who come that have never had a prior framework that love this framework because it just makes sense. It's sensical to build a relationship. It's sensical to ask deep, thought-provoking questions and branch off those responses. It's sensical to customize giving information to people in the way that they want it, that way that they're going to consume it best, and to have flexibility and variety in terms of how you do that. And, and then ultimately leaving that student better off than when they came with you. And that means helping them develop a plan for their future, even if it's not your school, even if it's not your school. So the bigger thing I'd say with enroll match is people leave they're a changed person. Because these tools, a lot of these come from the world of NLP or neuro-linguistic programming. And that, again, studied this area extensively myself. It's something that just helps you in life. And many people have said that on their evaluations is I'm a changed person. Like this, our very last workshop, we just had somebody wrote life changing or game changer. You see stuff like that. They feel inspired, they feel empowered, they feel excited about that. So that does my heart good to see that.
Yeah.
However, don't just leave them after the workshop. That's the other thing. The easiest thing in the world is go, oh, hoorah, this is great, blah, blah, blah. And then they go back and do what they've always done. So we very much support anybody who's come through our program with e-learning modules, with discussion forums, with live virtual trainings that we do a couple every single month. We have an entire webinar library filled with topics to help people get to their personal best. So that's what we do. EnrollMatch is a it's a complete ongoing relationship and solution, not intended to be a one and done type of workshop.
Yeah, I love that. The ongoing support is something that I think so many people miss in the training and development space. If you were to compare it to personal training, right? If you wanted to lose 20 pounds, you wouldn't go to the gym one time for 2 hours with a personal trainer and say, well, that's it, right? You would keep going back. You would develop a routine. You would build in time to your schedule in order to practice the things and do some of the exercises that professional told you to do. And I think that's really the empowerment approach from the EnrollMatch side of things too. It's empowering professionals within the industry to take a critical look of what they're doing and build upon skills that they maybe have failed to continue to go to the gym with, for lack of a better term. And I think having gone through that a couple of times, I've seen people that have gone through it two, three, four, five times, and every time they come back, they learn something a little bit new, or they sharpen a skill that they had previously developed. So it's an incredible process. It's really great to see the self-development and self-actualization of where they're at in their career. So again, obviously I'm a little biased, but I think quite the program, and the fact that we can offer it in a 2-day workshop, I think, is something that's very, very cool as well. Shameless plug, our next one is coming up October 23rd through 25th in the beautiful city of Chicago. And if anybody has any questions about that, certainly get in touch with Gene or myself or Matthew on our team. So we recognize one way that we help as Norton Norris, admissions professionals and that sort of thing. The second way is the My Guidance Coach software. right?
Right.
So we talked about student empowerment approach and helping students buy the way that they want to buy. And we talked about fit. And the fit side of it is really where we introduced the MGC software and program. So let's dive into that a little bit.
Sure.
Who is MGC for? What is it? The big level, big picture wise.
Sure. So to your point, my guidance coach really utilizes a lot of what's taught in EnrollMatch, including the five factors of fit, very, very much focused on that. And it's designed for students who want to buy that way. And I think one of the great visuals that a lot of people really connect the dots on is oftentimes the training will do an exercise. Imagine if you have 100 qualified inquiries, how many move to the next step? Which in many cases is to just get a hold of them, however you're doing it, texting, calling, whatever it is. Well, that's such a huge drop off right there. Then the next question is, of those people, how many will actually take the next step, which is might be to set an appointment or to come in. And in many cases, that it's like 60 of those people are already gone without ever having the opportunity to see your beautiful campus, right? Without ever meeting you. So my guidance coach can fit right up there at the top of the funnel. So to fix those other things, right? I'm a big fan of let's focus on what we can control. So EnrollMatch is about once you've got that student, let's talk about how to improve that relationship, how to convert more of those, how to empower that student. But above there, we need to provide these services, the same services, 24/7, through mobile devices, how they want to buy, how they want to experience it. So MGC is pre-enrollment advising software that can be used to engage students. And whether you give it to students that haven't shown up, whether you give them a link to your site from your website, whether you do an e-blast, a text blast, we're working with advising offices that are giving it to students after they actually apply, because they want them to have a plan at the end of the day that now they can take it to advising and everybody works on it together. And it's designed to be a tool that helps that student figure out the same thing. Is this the right school for me? Is this the right program for me? And they will actually come up with a fit score. They will actually come up in the software. So after each section, as they're exploring, it will say, on a scale of 1 to 5, what do you think? And they make the choice. If they're unsure, they can get more information. They can talk to somebody or connect with somebody. They can look at more information that the school has, or they can actually take some assessments. But at the end of the day, they're going to get that choice all the way around the five factors of fit and come up with a score at the end. And whether the school's the right match, whether they pick the right program or not, they're going to walk away with a plan. And that is the value proposition that we now need to have in the world of admissions. Because the old value proposition of information, and I'm the sole keeper of information, you've got to come on campus to get the numbers speak for themselves. It does not work.
Awesome. Awesome. So MGC, I like to phrase it in this way. If you were to take your best admissions professional or your best counselor and take their process to a T, so they're asking all the right questions, they're branching all the questions off, they're doing all the follow-up legwork, right? How many of those like perfect admissions professionals do you have on your campus? And the answer might be one or two or three. But what if you could have all of your admissions get that same sort of interaction and level of information from your prospects? Because it is software, because it is automated, which is something that we talk about so much these days. That is kind of the empowerment of not just the student, but also of the admissions professional as well, right? So all that great information that we're gleaning based on the principles of EnrollMatch, we're also doing that through the software side of the house with MGC. So when we talk about MGC, is there one type of client in particular that does better for MGC, or is it applicable to career schools, Cosmos schools, community colleges, traditional, nonprofit institutions? Who's the best fit for MGC?
That's a great question. I'd say all the above. And it really comes down to, an organization looking at the full picture, right? So MJC can be used again to engage students. So organizations that are using it for that purpose really see MJC as part of the team. So you can really maximize your resources. And admissions for the admissions team or advising teams, think about something else doing the heavy lifting, right? 24/7. And we see that with MJC is students are going in there at 2 o'clock on a Sunday, Sunday morning. This is when they want to shop. This is how they want to shop. They feel safe. And they may originally enter the software and go, what is this? But once they see what they're actually getting, and it's a no cost service, they really get into that. So I think organizations who are doing the best with it are using it as a part of the team and understanding that we can get this in front of prospective students, we can get in front of enrolled students, we can get it in front of the communities that we work with. We can offer this out as part of our brand and gift to our community that we want to be part of this. And so all levels, like we're working with graduate level, whether it's law school or veterinary, whether it's career colleges, heavy equipment, cosmetology, multi-level campuses, online campuses. The one thing I want to stress though, Trent, is it just like students won't necessarily want to come on campus initially, not everybody's going to want to use automation, right? So we're not saying this is for everybody and just get rid of, your admissions team or your advising team. What we're saying is add flexibility by putting MGC in there as a choice, as an option, and you'll be surprised because from your dashboards, you can see who's in there and what they're doing, right? And they're safe behind the scenes working on things and doing discovery. We also see that people who go into the software, after a couple, they may finish two or three factors, but then they'll say, this is kind of cool. I want to meet with somebody now. And that's a cool thing because they've completed some of the process. And then when they come in, you will have their discovery form with everything that was captured up to that point. So now as an admissions or an advising professional, the joy in your job suddenly becomes, I have so much information about the student, and for this one, I need to finish these last two factors for them, and let's do that together. In other cases, it might be, all right, we need to finish four of these, or we just need to summarize everything they've got because they finished it all online. So it professionalizes the profession, and it allows the software to do a lot of the background information gathering. And as you said, it branches, it listens like your best admissions representative because they're typing it in, it's summarizing it and asking them to verify and digging in deeper with those same questions. Yeah.
Awesome. If someone wants to find out more information about my guidance coach, where can they do that?
Great question. So you can go to myguidancecoach.com or contact one of the friendly folks at Norton Norris at nortonnorris.com, or of course give me a call. They can give you a call
Yeah.
to learn about more about it. We can do a demo. And again, just check it out and see.
Awesome. So as we kind of summarize everything that we've talked about today, we hit on a number of things. We talked about student empowerment, we talked about fit, we talked about EnrollMatch, we talked about My Guidance Coach. What's one big takeaway that we want to leave our listeners with as they finish their morning commute or afternoon commute, or they're walking the dog, or whatever they might be doing while they listen to us here?
It's profound. Let's see. The one thing that strikes me is you will only get the people who buy the way you sell.
Yeah.
And right now, it's a small number. It's a really small number. And admissions and advising professionals across the country are beating their heads on the wall or they're pointing fingers. It's marketing's fault. And marketing is saying it's admissions' fault. Admissions is saying it's advising's fault. Who owns retention? I mean, let go of all of that and just know that we can make the choice to expand and be more flexible and meet students in the way that they want to consume information. with automation, with 24/7 service, with customization. And we not only will get more students, but it's going to make our lives easier. So I say embrace automation, and we've lost our carrot in admissions. Information no longer is it.
Excellent.
We need to have a new service to provide to these students. Yeah.
Very, very profound. I tossed you a big question and you knocked it out of the park. So, Jean, I want to thank you very much for your time today. We hope you guys got a lot of practical knowledge as well as theoretical knowledge that you can put into place in whatever profession you might be in. Please look forward to following us on LinkedIn. Jean's active on LinkedIn, as am I. Follow us on Facebook at Norton Norris. And this episode will also be available via YouTube as well as every major podcast syndication channel. So, Gene, again, thank you very much for sharing with us your knowledge in the admissions space. We hope to do this again pretty soon, okay?
Sounds great. Thanks, Trent.
All
Thanks,
right.
everyone. Bye.